We look at the book titled Sound and Fury, written by Saul Malobi. He joins us to talk about his book, in which he talks about his disability and what happened to him overnight. He captures adversity and strong messages, not only for people with disability, but for everyone who find themselves in a situation similar to that. Welcome, Saul, to the program. Good afternoon and welcome to the program.
Good afternoon to you and also to your listeners.
Thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
You have an interesting story about how your life changed in a split second. Perhaps you can take us through that.
Yeah, my life was quite perfect. And one day I was at a mall here in Kilani with my wife walking to the car park. And I suddenly collapsed and blacked out for about 4 to 5 minutes. Later on, I found some two guys helping me up. But then I regained my strength and I said it wasn't necessary for me to go to hospital. It was around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So we went home and we even prepared dinner. And around 11 o'clock, before we went into bed, I decided to brush my teeth. And all I could do was to put my toothpaste on the toothbrush, and my right hand just froze. So I went back into the bedroom. I said to my wife, my right hand has frozen. I don't know what's happening. She suggested we go to hospital, but the other man, cheeky me, said, no, let me sleep and we'll see what's happening in the morning. In the morning when we woke up, I found myself fully paralyzed from the neck down. All I could do was to shake my hand and to wink. And yes, I could speak, but I was fully paralyzed. And that was when I realized that indeed I needed to go to hospital. I went to hospital, and after 3 weeks, the diagnosis came back. And the doctor said it was a rare condition called Guillain-Barré syndrome. It affects 150,000 across the world. And the good news was that they said, even though there was no remedy for it, because 150,000 is a small market for the pharmaceutical industry to invest in it. So they said the only remedy they knew was at my disposal was physiotherapy. And the good news, then they said there's a 70% chance of recovery. But out of the 70%, there's a 3% reoccurrence rate. But then I told myself, okay, I'm going to fight back to reclaim my health back. At the same time, I'll also make sure that I'm not part of the 3% reoccurrence rate. And I was fully paralyzed for about 7 months. And then I started regaining mobility on my right hand towards the end of the 7th month. And then I was continuing to receive therapy. I was at the Tshwane Rehabilitation Hospital. And on the 8th month, then my full right hand started regaining its full mobility, even though my fingers up until today are still very weak. And on the 8th month, I started walking on a four-wheeler, a walking frame. And then the 8th night, then I graduated into the 2 crutches. And then on the 11th month, I tried to use 1 crutch, but I realized that because my fingers were weak, I needed to have a grip so that I could be able to grip the crutches. And I spent another year at home recovering. But right now I have regained my movement, even though I still walk like a penguin, but I'm not able to do the stairs. So I will need the crutches for me to be able to do the stairs. And I receive 1 hour training every day. I have a special trainer.
Because yes.
The only way to regain your mobility is to have someone who will stretch you so that they can revive the dead nerves. They say the condition means your brain stops talking to your nerves. And for instance, if you want to raise your hand, the hand doesn't get that message. As a result, then your nerves degenerate. So to reactivate your nerves, you have to be stretched, and it's extremely painful. I still cry 3 years later because it's extremely uncomfortable.
Yes.
But that's why I need a personal trainer, someone who wouldn't listen to my cries, but will ensure that, yeah, they stretch me. And this is, yeah, my life right now. But I had to develop a survival mechanism when I was in hospital and fully paralyzed. I then decided to employ humor as a survival tactic. I laughed at myself. For instance, I'll be coming home on a wheelchair, and my children, the daughter is now turning 10 in April, and my son is turning 14 in March. And they used to say, "Daddy, may we push you around?" as I was watching TV. And it reminded me of the good old days when I was pushing children in a push cart. Now, the irony of it was that now the kids were pushing an elder who is stuck in a wheelchair. And I also named all my wheelchairs after classic cars, like your yes. Lamborghini, your Ferrari, you know. And I also drew inspiration from people with disabilities who have managed to go beyond, you know, the disability, defining their personality or, you know, becoming an obstacle to leading a fruitful life. For instance, you look at Stevie Wonder, the musician. I even read one quote from him that I loved when he said, because he's blind, he said, "The fact that your eyes can see does not necessarily mean that you have a vision." So I embraced that. And I also looked at other people who are disabled, and they manage to transform their lives beyond their disability.
But yes. In all of this, you know, the fact that your life changed dramatically, and you know, from the life that you knew, suddenly it's a totally different life. Now, how did you deal with adversity on a personal level? I understand that in your book you touch on depression in parts of your books, and you know, how helping or how writing had helped you heal. And you know, for people now on a practical level, someone sitting with adversity, would you advise them, you know, to write, even if it's not writing a book, but just a journal? And could that help them to heal?
In fact, the first advice I give to people is that first you need to accept your reality. The minute you start accepting that reality means you will be able to come up with strategies of how to. Saying, I used to be a highly independent person to an extent that even at work, I wouldn't allow my PA to make coffee for me. I'll always walk to the kitchen. Now, suddenly here I am fully paralyzed. Then you surrender your self-respect in the sense that suddenly you find yourself being helped to do everything by the nurses, including accepting the fact that they have to put on a diaper on you. So you lose your former self. But what happened once I've accepted that reality, I then decided to write down my experiences, what was happening in my mind. And then I discovered that, in fact, writing was highly therapeutic for me, to an extent that whenever there was something worrying me, I'll write down about that experience, describe that feeling, but then also give it a spin where I put a little bit of humor in it, so that ultimately then I could live with that reality at that particular moment. And I also accepted the fact that my life had changed, you know, very drastically. From professionally, I was highly successful and I had a very good family life, and but suddenly there I was, people will say, a cabbage that was at the mercy of everyone who was able to around him.
Yes.
And I also went into writing a poetry, which is highly, highly therapeutic. And I said, to a large extent, you have to have an element of craziness in you for you to be able to deal with the challenges that you are facing. So the last section of the book, it's mainly a number of poems. The first one is directed at my wife. Then the second one is directed at my family. The other one to my mother. The other one to my friends and comrades. And also the last one is giving advice to people who are still in rehabilitation hospitals, to tell them about the difficulties and challenges that they should prepare themselves to deal with once they are discharged. For instance, when you are in a rehabilitation hospital, you have other patients, so there is an element and spirit of camaraderie amongst ourselves. But once you are discharged, you go into this hostile world, you are all alone amongst able-bodied people, and this ultimately may impact on your morale, and others will then even relapse. Because among the patients that I was with at the hospital, those who were discharged between June 2017 and February 2018, we buried 8 of them because they just couldn't stand how hostile the outside world is to people with disabilities. But with me, I was saved by my writing and particularly poetry. Whenever I felt that my morale was very low,
yes,
I then had to write out my feelings. It was like venting out your anger and your frustrations on a piece of paper. And ultimately, then I edited what I put together, and it became a decent book that I got positive response and feedback from the people who have read it.
Certainly sounds fascinating, and your story is a remarkable one. We've run out of time. We'd have loved to continue chatting to you, but thank you for availing yourself and taking us through your life story.
Thank you for the opportunity for me to share my story with your listeners.
Thank you.
I hope it makes an impact in someone else's life who's facing some difficulties.
Certainly will. Thank you, Kowel. All the best.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Well, that was Saul Malobi, who was the former SA Council General to Milan, talks about the day when he was walking home and he was struck by a certain rare sickness. 150,000 people in the world has that sickness, and the paralysis that came after that, coping with life under these circumstances. One of the healing mechanisms that he used was really writing out his feelings, and he says that has helped him along the way.